Duncan McLeod, and this is the Tech Central podcast brought to you today by IT Master. I'm in Centurion to talk to Stanton Pillay, IT Master's CEO. Stanton, welcome to the podcast and thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Duncan. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure. Now, IT Master has an interesting history. It was founded by three women, which I guess is somewhat unusual in the male-dominated IT sector. Maybe take us through that and how the company got its start.
Yeah, so I think that was one of the reasons it was started, that to have a female-owned entity in a male-dominated industry. I think how it started is that the former CEO, Ina Fenta, was working on some major projects, and while she was doing the project, they actually lost the project to another entity.
Okay.
And when she looked at the award, she thought to herself that, but we could do this better, provide a superior quality product as well as at a better, more efficient pricing. And so I think that's the concept and how it started, because she thought to herself, you know, we can do it better. We can give better value to the customer and also leverage good savings in terms of bringing the project. And you know, I think I only found that out recently in terms of the ethos behind why, what the thought process was. But it's funny that throughout the years that we've been working, that's filtered through the entire organization. We've always done that with our customers.
So founded, what, almost 20 years ago now?
Yes.
2001. And so, founded in Limpopo, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, founded in Limpopo.
Where, so Polokwane?
In Polokwane.
Okay.
That's where the ladies were.
Yeah.
All three of them were based in Polokwane. And I think they took a step of faith and believed that they could make a difference in ICT as women and bring the collective experience, which is many years of experience that they had between them, to add value in this industry.
Okay. And the three co-founders are, what are their names?
So it's Ina Fenta, Leah Matlala, and it was Ven Pillay.
Okay. Okay. And are all three still involved in some way in the business?
No. So Ina Fenta is still involved, and Leah Matlala, but Mrs. Ven Pillay left, sold the shares many years ago.
Okay.
Previously.
Okay, but two of them are still involved.
One of them
is your chairman, right?
Yeah, so Leah Matlala is our chairman, and Ina Fenta is where has transitioned now to me becoming CEO. She's been the former CEO, still in the business and very heavily involved in the operations of the business, and adding a lot of value to the company as a whole. I mean, you know, I always say that it takes 21 years to be 21, and you can't buy experience. And I think the wealth of experience that they bring to the company cannot be discounted. So I want them around us for as long as I can.
Sure, sure. We're gonna get into a bit about what IT Master does and your principal focus areas and how the business has changed over the years. But tell me a bit about yourself, Stanton. You joined this business in 2004, is that right?
Yes, correct.
And you were a technician in the technical services division.
Well, so exactly how it started is that I was in KZN, unemployed. So I worked in various fields, like I even cut grass on the side of the road. I did worked in pot factories making pots, plug factories making plugs. I made furniture. So I did all odd jobs. I didn't go to university, and I couldn't afford to study. And also I wasn't really, there wasn't a lot of advice around university and things when I was growing up. But there came to a point, I reached a point in life when I was unemployed, sitting in church, and realizing, listen, I'm 23, I need to do something. And as I was in church, I got the verse from Joshua saying, fear not, for I will be with you wherever you go, even to the uttermost parts of the earth. And that's a scripture I used to make me move from where I was in KZN. And I took a step of faith, and I basically had a conversation with God to say, listen, you need to bless me, and this can't be my entire life. And so I moved to Johannesburg, and I was looking for a job here for a couple of weeks, and I couldn't find anything. While I was in Durban, I started part-time. I did some A+, N+, MCSC, so technical, small, short courses while working.
Were you interested in computers?
Yeah, so I was interested in computers.
Yeah.
So obviously, those years, it was the computer field is very new. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's when there was MCSEs and guys fixing, building computers. That was a big thing then. And my neighbor, who's a good friend of mine still now, Coogan.
Yeah.
Where he was working, he was building computers, and I got my first computer that he built while I was 14.
Okay.
And that's what I used then with stiffies and floppy drives, and you know, that's how I think I got a taste into it. And then I wanted to understand how it works. So my goal was to be, my whole desire and dream was to be a PC engineer.
All right.
That's what I said. I just want to be a PC engineer, build these PCs, and you know, that's all that as far as my horizon was looking at that time. So when I moved up, and so Coogan, actually the same guy, was working in Polokwane, mm-hmm. and I stayed with his brother in Johannesburg looking for a job. And so he said, come up and maybe apply for some jobs in Polokwane. And then while I was there in Polokwane, that's when I actually had the interview at IT Master. Mm-hmm. And so everything that I did was, I did it from a book, you know, whatever I studied. I didn't actually understand very well how it all works together practically.
Yes.
So I remember that I went for the interview at Ina, then CEO, and when I sat in to have a conversation with her, firstly she asked me, where do you see yourself in 5 years? I said, I see myself one of the owners of the company. And she laughed. She says now that she never laughs when anyone tells her that in any interviews. And you know, it was like, I always tell people, it was not that I saw that I'll be the owner of the company, it's just that it was the right thing to answer at that point. You know, when they ask you what's your weakness, you say, I'm a perfectionist, you know, kind of thing. And but I also was honest in that. I told her, I studied some IT, but it's all in a book. So I don't really, but I want to get into an IT company, so I'll take anything. And so then she said, okay, fine. Come in, we'll give you pocket money. So that's how I started. I was doing deliveries. I didn't know any technical stuff, so I also, in the interim, got to do some technical work.
Yeah.
But I was doing deliveries, I was driving for the company, I was doing cleaning up of the back. So I was the lowest person in the organization. But I was learning a lot and absorbing a lot and asking a lot of questions. But the turning point came when the customers would then phone into the company and not ask for the salespeople, but ask for the Indian boy that was just doing a delivery or an installation at their site. And that's how it started for me within the organization, because within 6 months, I managed to bring in R1 million worth of sales for a company that was 1.6 million per annum at that point. And so then I became technical/sales within the organization. And then since then, been growing the organization 100% year on year. And we got to a point when we were fairly established in Polokwane, and around 2010, 2011, when I moved down in 2011, the idea was to see how can we expand nationally. And
so up to that point, you were focused on
just Limpopo. And we were very established, so we worked in all the municipalities, government departments, and other entities there. And then so when we moved into... Focusing purely on government, while they're the biggest spenders and they're amazing, it's difficult for a business to just survive just working with them. And I think that was one of the thought processes of moving to Johannesburg. It was around how do we enter new markets, try and get into the corporate market and bring some of the things we've learned there and see if we can add value in a much bigger scale. And coming to Johannesburg, we then landed one of our big contracts at Vodacom, where we did schools. And since then, we've just expanded all over the country, we've seen as one of the leaders in education. In South Africa, so that's been a big focus of ours. And then,
And now you're in all 9 provinces, I believe.
Yes. Yeah. So we're in all 9 provinces. I think we have an enterprise development strategy. So we're very aligned to the government goals, country's goals, in terms of transformation, enterprise development, empowering SMEs and QSEs within the country. So what we've done is, and our customers also demand that. So the customers also want to make sure that their spend is utilized in each province and the money just doesn't leave the province. So what we've done is we've identified plus minus 20 small companies nationally. And so we have offices in, we have established offices in a few of the provinces, but a lot of them we also have partners. But the 20 SMMEs that we've identified, we skill them up, we bring them in, we give them health and safety training, health and safety files and stuff, which is very expensive. We We basically teach them our DNA in terms of how we do installations. Also project-specific type of installation. So we come and train them. We do a mock site at our warehouse for them to do installations. When they were starting up, we would then, my guys would go and do the installation with them. Then they would watch them do the installation and then they would let them do it on their own. So that's a way of just making sure. And because of that, we now have a massive reach within South Africa that we work in all 9 provinces in the most rural areas around South Africa. And we believe we're contributing our part to the more macro goals of empowerment and local empowerment within the country. We're very, very passionate about that.
Now you said you've been growing your revenues. Is it your revenues 100% year on
year? Yes, yes. I think there was a time, so it was 100% year on year in Polokwane. And then, yeah. I mean, you can only grow 100% to a certain time.
Sure.
And then we plateaued again. And then when we got back into Johannesburg, just by virtue of us not being here, every year we grew. And just the more market we took, the more it was growth. And then we got to a point where we, a medium-sized entity now. And we're stabilizing and we're looking forward to the future to grow more.
So what is it exactly you do? How do you engage with your clients? What are your principal focus areas and who is your target market?
So we are very big in education, right? Although that's not the only thing we do, but the reason why I start with that is that's something that's a passion for me personally, based on my background. Mm. So anything education, we're very involved, and me personally am very involved in it. So higher education, basic education, private education, we are really focused there in a big way. And I think it's more about not just about selling solutions, it's about making a difference. And if you talk to our teams, we always talk about how do we make a difference or impact these communities. It's part of our vision and mission and all of that within the organization is to impact lives and to try and connect people to the global economy of the future. Mm. So that leads me to the next part. We're very involved in managed services, enterprise solutions. So we do outsource of IT and things like that. And innovation has been always our key go-to-market. So we invest heavily in understanding what's happening in the future. By that, I mean traveling to different countries around the world, listening to the latest trends and technology trends and advancements, as well as what's going on within what's coming. So we're trying to plot the future as well.
Yeah.
And I think the way in the door of engaging the customer is more around our innovation. So how can we come in and innovate the organization? I think our mantra within the company is speed, agility, scale, prayer, and generosity. So we really try in whatever we do. And I think as a CEO, I'm a new CEO, I'm very focused on customer and my people. So I'm engaging the customer, but I'm also investing in the people internally. I want them to understand our DNA, understand why we're doing things, making sure there's a massive transformation purpose of connecting South Africa to the global economy and to make sure that that we are relevant for our times. And in order to do that and distill what have we done well over the years of existence. And those are the 5 things that I think speaks to our core values. Speed, we try and work very fast. So how does that relate to our business and externally? Internally, we try and see how do we optimize?
Mm-hmm.
How do we move at speed internally? And then once we do that internally, that automatically overflows into our customers. So when we're there as well, we want to not waste time and make sure that we can operate with speed. Agility, how flexible are we? And we need to be flexible internally, but also at our customers. This is something that we bring to the party, that we are not so rigid. Even though we are big, we try to not lose the agility. And then scale, because our unique ability to scale is something, like I mentioned with the ecosystem and various other things, we are able to scale exponentially. And we've done some really serious projects where it was almost impossible to roll out at that scale, but we managed to do it. And prayer and generosity is just our values. You know, I think as CEO, that's very close to my heart. And I want the people internally, I told our staff, just be generous with your people. Managers, be generous with your people. People be generous with your peers. Let's be generous with our suppliers, and let's be generous with our clients. And I think it's a recipe for success, and all the while knowing that our source is God, and that's where prayer comes from.
Now, you mentioned you travel a lot to learn about latest technologies. What are some of the big technology trends that you're seeing that are affecting your business right now, and how do you see that evolving IT Master's business in the coming years?
Well, I think we need to bring some gravity to that. So there's a lot happening. Obviously, the exponential technologies all around the world that you would see happening. But how relevant is it to our country is the thing. So I've noticed that we have a challenge with connectivity. And connectivity and all of these lovely, great trends that are happening rises and falls on good connectivity, because cloud, as you know, is one of the big major moves. Yeah. It requires connectivity. And so I think whilst being in the future, we are also being very relevant in the present, and we work a lot with telcos. And we really want to bring a difference to the rural areas in terms of bringing connectivity to the people. And then also when you're plotting the future, it's good to know the present of where you are, and so that it allows us to advise correctly before anything's implemented. So I think cloud obviously is a big move. Everything's moving there. We look in South Africa, and the fact that Microsoft put data centers down, and AWS is in the country, and there's consumers have a lot of choice, which is a good thing. It allows people to think.
Global cloud data centers that are coming into the country, though, do they represent a threat, do you think, to the local IT industry? We've got these giant American, mostly American companies coming down, putting down data centers. Corporate South Africa is obviously investing quite heavily in shifting to the cloud. Now, you've got a whole layer of IT services companies in South Africa historically. You've got these big giants coming in. Are they a threat to the local ecosystem, do you think? Or do you think the local ecosystem just needs to adapt and work better with these global giants?
So I think actually it's how you perceive it. I think it's a great opportunity. I'm a firm believer and advocate of collaboration.
Yeah.
But what cloud gives you is, if we take, for example, a managed services opportunity, right, where it's total outsource of a client, smaller companies may not have the capacity to be able to put all of the things in place that is required to manage that. But now with cloud, you actually don't need all of that. Everything's in one place. A company like mine can actually manage huge customer bases, and it gives you opportunity to scale. And I think instead of us looking at, in a world where Samsung's a biggest supplier to Apple, who says we have to do things the way we've always done it? I think we should embrace this as an opportunity to be able to see how do we work. And this opens up new opportunities that we don't have to develop. In a company like us, we can't heavily invest in data centers to be able to be a cloud provider. But the guys that are putting down and laying down the billions, this is our opportunity to also get to become relevant and also evolve with the industry that's evolving rapidly. According to Moore's Law, it's doubling every 2 years.
Yeah.
And if we are willing to, if we're going to fight and go against the grain, we're never going to be able to achieve the things that these massive entities are coming and putting down. It's actually an opportunity for us. It's a great enabler for us to do more.
Because it's not just a case, as some people I think that you just press a few buttons on your computer and you're in the cloud. There's a lot of consulting work that needs doing. There's a lot of strategic thinking that needs to take place.
Correct. And the cloud allows you to make mistakes. That's a good thing.
Yes.
It's easy.
Expensive mistakes too.
Depends. Now you don't have to tie yourself into 3-year type of contracts.
True.
You could scale up and down in a day. You could choose to use this in a day and switch it off and start. So I think that's what I mean in terms of allows you to make some mistakes.
Yeah, for sure. Now, tell me a bit about your partners. I understand one of your most important partnerships is with HP.
Yes, correct.
How does that relationship work? And I believe you see yourself as aligned with HP's pillars of people, planet, community. Maybe take us through that.
Yeah, so I think HP has been walking with us for many years. So I think why there's such an alignment and a partnership with HP is that we were part of their development program. So when we were a small company, HP had this program called Lady Boho, where they chose some companies in South Africa And they spent money in investing in them in terms of executive development, sales development, looking at the whole financials of the company and giving us direction. We graduated from that program. And then later on, it was just a natural progression to partner. And I've realized in this industry, you know, loyalty and alignment gives you a lot because you can plan better. You can make a greater impact. I love HP's values around making a difference in the planet and people. It's so aligned to us. And I think the leadership of HP in South Africa currently with under Elizabeth has been amazing. And I think we've been planning a lot of projects in education specifically to see how do we really make impact. So it's what I like about it is not just a technology discussion when we sit and have a discussion. It's all about impact. And whilst we understand that there's a monetary aspect and there's budget and there's all of that, the discussions around the table that people don't see is all around how do we impact this community? What can we bring to the table that really makes a difference and not going to be just utilized for the sake of being utilized, but rather be effectively utilized to make a difference?
And how do you see your relationship with HP going into the future?
I think it's only going to grow. I think from where we are, we're an HP Gold partner in South Africa. And I think we want to look at moving into the other streams of HP. I mean, HP split between HP Inc. and HPE. And we're also working with HP Enterprise as well now and trying to leverage the full value of a brand, a global brand like HP.
Yeah. And more broadly, I mean, you've been CEO now for, 4 or 5 months?
Yes.
Where do you see IT Master going in say, the next 3 years? What's your big picture thinking about how you'd like to see this business change and grow?
So I think within the organization, definitely innovation being a key leader for us. We want to be able to innovate. But like I mentioned, the mantra of our five things, you know, to be able to be an agile company. You know, the days of 5-year business plans are over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you look at the rate of change going on, if you can plot yourself 5 years from now, you're actually plotting yourself for failure because things are changing so much yearly. You know, the best thing is to look at a year plan and after a year reassess what's going on. We have big plans.
Yeah.
We have big impact plans. We really want to impact this country. And I mean what I say when I say that we want to connect the people of the country to the economy of the future. We are very involved with targeting certain industries that make impact. And I think leveraging the innovation and the things that we're looking at, things that we're researching, obviously things that I can't mention openly yet. But I mean, behind the scenes, there's a lot going on. We are also introspecting within the organization and making sure that we believe what we are out there doing and streamlining, becoming more effective to be able to meet the need out there. I think the big thing for us in the next 3 years, as CEO, I want to see more collaboration. So I understand that we have competition, but I don't think we need to work the way everyone brings value to a country, to our country. I think I say that we are one of the leaders in education. There are other leaders in education in South Africa also doing amazing things. I think what I would like to see is how do we collaborate together? And I'm going to facilitate those discussions, having other CEO meetings with my so-called competition to see how do we work together? Not in a not in terms of colluding, but more in terms of making an impact and a fully transparent go-to-market strategy so that customers and end users get to see a fully transparent combination of collaboration because we all have strengths. And no matter how big or small your strength is, combined, we can make much more impact. I think collaboration, is going to be it's a key driver for me.
Great. Well, I'm going to be watching this business with a great deal of interest. And this was a fascinating conversation. So thank you for making the time to talk to Tech Central today. Stanton Pillay is, of course, CEO of IT Master.
Thank you, Duncan.